Oh, we haven't had a rain like this in a while, huh? Since like last year. John, your window's closed now. Okay, we need a good rain. I was just thinking, we hadn't had a good rain in a while. I didn't expect this, though. Did they forecast this rain? They did. Okay, I wasn't watching. Okay, do your best to pay attention to me. Yes? Shower of blessing. There you go. It's a spiritual day. God sent the rain, so it's a shower of blessings, right? It reminds me of John 1:16. It's a scripture that I learned recently. I know the book of John really well, and it's like a verse I hadn't seen before. And it says, from the fullness of his grace, that is the grace of Jesus Christ, we have all received one blessing after another. Isn't that a neat thing? It's like the grace of God is just overflowing from Jesus. It's like rain overflows from the cloud, that the fullness of God's grace, we've all received one blessing after another, one next, one boom, 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 blessing, blessing, blessing. And maybe we can talk about that next week, because hopefully we will have a chance to give thanks. May the Lord willing, he will remind you of some of the things that we have to give thanks for. Today our scripture is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. I'd like to read that for us as we get going together. And it says, therefore prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Look forward. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So, and then scripture goes on to say, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. I kind of threw that one in. I wasn't going to say that, but since a lot of our worship songs had to do with holiness, I thought I might as well, you know, maybe that's the theme today. Unbeknownst to me, praise the Lord. Prepare your minds for action. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your incredible plan called the church, the ecclesia, those who are called out by Jesus. And Jesus, you've said you would build your ecclesia, your church, your body, your people, your assembly, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, we commit to you your church. We ask that you would be the builder of it and use every situation we go through as stepping stones to greater maturity, greater completion in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Thank you that we can trust you for your work. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we begin today, I'd like to just touch base on something I talked about last week, and this won't be in your notes today, but I do want to just do a quick review. Last week, I talked about how in the church, there's only one Lord, and that is Jesus Christ. That in the church, there are no properly used terms Lord for humans, for people. There is only one Lord, and we only recognize one Lord, and that's Jesus. There are people, leaders in the church, who want to become Lord. They want to be recognized as Lord, and that's not right. That's not proper. And so what we want to do is to remind ourselves that we are not Lord. And I told you, I am not Lord. And I mentioned last week, so how does... If a leader doesn't act like a lord, and we're not lording it over people, how decisions made, how do we get anything done? And I mentioned it's through submission, which is true, but there's actually another step before that, and that is by agreement. So there's a lot to be talked about with agreement. I'll talk to you more about this. If you want to sit down, we can just go over this whole thing. There's a whole pretty lengthy teaching on consensus decision making, but I won't go over that with you today. But just know that what we strive for is agreement. And when we work toward agreement, what we're doing is trying to get your input, believing that the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And we want to find out the Holy Spirit's leading so that we can be under the leadership of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does not only exist in the pastor. And the pastor doesn't have the word from on high that you just listen to the pastor and that's it. I used to think that before, but I don't think that anymore. And so I believe that one of the roles of the pastor is to get people together so that we can seek what Jesus' will is. Amen? Okay, so I'm what you call an under-shepherd. A pastor means shepherd, so I am a shepherd. But I'm an under-shepherd under the chief shepherd. And so we strive toward agreement, and then we strive toward submission. So as we work toward together. And if you were able to track with what Henry Blackaby was saying a couple of years ago, we went through experiencing God. If you had a difficult time understanding experiencing God, what I just told you is what Henry Blackaby was saying. The Holy Spirit lives in each person. And what we want to do is to hear what God is saying and together make that decision. Okay? Today I want to, now you can take out this sheet of paper. Turn to the picture side, and we're just going to go over that real quick. Some time ago, before one of our elder retreats, I was asking the Lord, how do we understand the role of the church and make it really, really simple? How do we boil it down to its basic ingredients? And there are three things that always would come up, constantly would come up. The first one is mission. Second one is personal walk and care. Third one is organization. But I felt the Lord impressing upon me this time that it's not enough just to leave it like that. That it's important to put in one more leg of the stool, if you will, and that one is training. So we came up with this four-legged stool. I ran it by the elders, and they thought it was a good model, a very simple thing for us to grasp that describes in big picture what the functions of the church are. And what should guide us? What should be our guiding, big picture guiding principles? Okay, a lot of little details that we can get into, but we're not going to do that at this point. These are our priorities. Number one is mission. Mission. Jesus Christ came to earth and spent 3 years with his disciples, and he gave them a mission at the end. He gave them the Holy Spirit to empower them for this mission, and then he said, you guys are going to be led by the Holy Spirit. And as we tried to simplify what our mission is here at West Oahu, we came up with this acrostic called SEED, S-E-E-D. And the idea of SEED is, how do we plant seeds in the world that will germinate and that will grow up into great fruitful crops for Jesus Christ? S stands for share the gospel, E stands for empower the people, the other E stands for encourage the people, and D stands for disciples, make disciples. And so we went over this earlier, and this is our focus of mission. The importance of disciples was highlighted, I think, by Gary, Henry mentioned this already, alluded to this. 17,000 people groups, not so much nations, but people groups in the world, out of which there are only 7,000 of which have not yet been reached. So if we think that the gospel has gone out to the whole world, we have work to do. And Jesus said, this gospel will go out to the whole world, and then the end will come. And so we have a mission. And our mission field begins with a very small place. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Say, Holy Spirit with me. Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, say Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, all Judea, is that too complicated? All Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay, so it begins in your locale, right where you are, right? Your own city. What's your Jerusalem? Then what is the concentric circle out from that? Judea, and then Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. And so that's our mission. That's what that's what Jesus gave the apostles. Say, wait for the Holy Spirit, and you will be empowered to do this. Second one here is personal walk and care. The idea of this is that if you've been in church a long time, you will often see a church or a ministry or an activity that pursues a project or a function. Maybe it's putting on a conference or something like that. And there's a lot of things to do. And as you pursue these things to do, you get a lot of hurt feelings going on. You step on one another's toes. A lot of miscommunication happens. We try not to, but it does happen. And people get hurt along the way. And so the question is, do we say at the end of that, wow, it was a great function, praise the Lord, and then we kind of ignore all the people that were damaged and destroyed as we pursued this activity? In our hearts, we're looking at, what are we here for? We're not here to put on a function. We're here to perfect the saints. The Apostle Paul said, we proclaim him, proclamation of the gospel, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Can you say, present everyone? Perfect in Christ. That's the goal. How is a person's faith better because they helped out in this project? How have they seen the spirit of perseverance come through? How have we nurtured healing and perspective of God's working in our midst as we went through and did this project? If we do not process that, then all we're going to have is damaged people. And we're going to have, yes, we're going to put a feather in our cap. Yes, we had this wonderful project, and then we have damaged people. Now, damage is not necessarily a bad thing, but we need to process that. What is God doing through this hurt that occurred? And that is what we're talking about when we're talking about personal walk and care. Personal walk part of about this is very important. Are we having our time with the Lord? Are we in our involvements in ministry, involvements in our small groups, or involvement in our ministry team? Are we connecting with God? Are we connecting people with God? Or are we only doing things outwardly? And how can we use our ministry teams and our small groups to pursue what God is doing in our lives? So, if we have people, and we're using people on ministry teams who are not spending their time with God, not opening their Bible and praying, but we want them to come and set up stuff, we want them to come and help out, cook, and things like that, and we want them to do this, but we're not enabling them to draw close to Jesus, then all we're doing is using them for a product. The product is not completeness in Christ. But that's what we're going for. Completeness in Christ is our goal. And so we don't want to sacrifice completeness in Christ for the sake of, on the altar of, doing a project. That means there's a lot of internal work we need to do. And those of you who I've had to work with recently know that I get really involved in your own lives. I ask you deep questions. What's going on here? And how do we work through this? Thirdly is to organize. We organize the structure to be effective. So we don't just have good ideas. All good ideas are good. They're wonderful. But the rubber meets the road in how we interact together. How are we connected together? If you look in the back side of this, which I should have referred to you a little sooner, but here we go. Under organization, there is a structure. If we think about the church as a body, and we look at our own body here, let's say Jesus' body is like our physical body. The Apostle Paul actually uses this body as an analogy in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. He says, "From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So we have a structure. As the Apostle Paul says, the body works together, but we have ligaments that hold our joints together, this one bone connected to this other bone. And we have someone recently, in fact, Donna, you know, had a little issue with her either her tendon or a ligament, I don't know which one. But if you ever tore one of those, then you know you have a problem. You're going to be weak because this is not connected to this. And if you ever broke an ankle or sprained an ankle, you realize your body's all connected. And that's how it should be. We should be connected. And that's why, by the way, when one part hurts, we all hurt. When we're connected, when one part hurts, we all hurt. But that requires some degree of organization. And we have in our bodies here a skeleton. What our skeleton makes us look different from an octopus. That's why you don't look like an octopus, okay? So that's why a dog looks like a dog, our bodies look like a human. Our skeleton really is the structure that holds us together. How can we do something like that in the church? What is our structure that can hold us together and help us accomplish that which God has given us, our mission? And finally, training. Training, and the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Someone approved, that is, God's going to say, good work, I approve of you. Well done. A workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So as we're doing this, we want to be a church that not only talks about that we need to do this, we need to do that, but find ways of training you to do that. My own philosophy is high training, low control. The more training we can give you, the more equipped we can give you, the less we need to control you. If you don't have any equipping, any training, then we kind of have to kind of micromanage this, micromanage that, and correct that. I'd rather have you just be really well-trained, be interacting, communicating, connecting, and get you trained. Maybe have you do like various different workshops. So we, number of things we've had recently and throughout the years, we just had a discipleship conference. We have Gary Lau. How many of you are into Gary Lau seminar? Gary Lau seminar. Okay, you paid $10 for your workbook, right? But the church is paying for Gary Lau's speaking fee. And so we're doing that. We're covering that. And the discipleship conference, you had to pay for your lunch, your bento, and a small little fee. But we paid for the speaker. The church and churches paid for your speaker. That's the kind of thing we want to do. We want to help you to be equipped. And there are lots of different kind of things we're going to do in the future. So that's what we're looking at. And there might be specific training for your particular ministry. And it's going to be different from another ministry. And you might need some targeted ministry in that. What can we look for in the Christian world? And there's lots of these kinds of things. And how can we plug you into something like that so you can be better equipped? And finally, under training, personal guidance and mentoring. Being able to sit down with you in person and to say, how's it going? How's it going as you're organizing this particular function that you're going through? What are issues you're dealing with? What kind of guidance do you need? Do you need spiritual or scriptural guidance? And the job of the leaders, elders, my job as a pastor, is to sit down with you and help you process that on an individual level. So that's what we're all about. The church is a church on the move. So we talk about a lot of different things in the past, where the church has been. This would be my final message on the church. Next week we're going to start off in talking about the holidays. Okay? And it's going to be, I think, a very redemptive topic. All right? So I'm excited for that. But this is going to be the last sermon on the church as this series going into the new year. We're going to talk more about how we'd like our church to function. We're going to talk about our values. We're going to talk about the a social covenant, how are we going to interact with each other. And we're going to really get into that, really get into the nitty-gritty starting next year. So we want to start the year making sure the inner health of our church is really good. And then so that's what we want to do. But this sermon here today wraps up our series on the church. And what we're saying is that the church has a mission. We have something to do. I think about the mission that the person who led me to Christ was on. He came down the registration lines at the University of Hawaii. He himself was a university student as well. He was on a mission to share the gospel. And I came to Christ through him. He belonged to an organization that was also on a mission. That mission was to know Christ and to make him known. And then as you go and make disciples, we need to care for each other. And that's what the church is about. And then as the church moves together, we need to organize. And as people specialize in certain things, we want to get them trained and find the best way to train them. Does that make sense? So this is where we're going, and this wraps up our sermon. By the way, I did not cover this in any of the previous membership classes. This is new. New-ish. It's not brand new, but it's new-ish. So those of you who are in previous membership classes did not get this, but now you got it. So there you have it. All right, I hope it's simple enough. If you have any questions, feel free to call me. People do come and talk to me and say, hey, you know that thing you talked about? Yeah, can you tell me more? And I go ahead and tell them more. There's a lot more we can talk about. But I hope that you will understand our heartbeat here at West Oahu Christian Church, that we have things that we're putting together, and we would love for you to be a part of that. We can go together in the Lord's will. Lord, thank you for your love, your goodness. Go before us, O Lord. Lord, we want all the things that you are guiding us in, we want it to be Christ-centered. And we want to be always evaluating whether or not what we're doing is of your will. Are we following you? And how effective have we been? And we want to continue to make mid-course corrections, always realigning and realigning and realigning to you. So thank you, God. We love you. And may we be the church that is prepared for action. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.